for giving me this opportunity. Also thank you at Pizza Institute for great atmosphere and a lot of cookies and coffee. Without that, I can't lose the main talent with Chris. Yes, this is joint work with Chris Phillips, and I talk about the Laffer property of AF algebra. Okay. I'm interested in the classification of automorphism or good actions, and the problem is classify automorphism or good actions on some classifiable fixed algebra, something like AF algebra or Hilbert algebra, up to outer conjugacy or cocycle conjugacy. You have already seen the definition of outer conjugacy or cocycle conjugacy in the talk of Masaki Zuni, and also some results on this line on Hilbert algebra. And there are a lot of works on this problem, and in many works, there's a key technical tool which is called Laffer property. And using Laffer property, the strategy for solving the problem can be divided into two steps. Namely, first, your automorphism, your given automorphism satisfies the Laffer property. This step sometimes called the Laffer type theorem. And then, classify automorphism satisfying the Laffer property up to cocycle conjugacy or outer conjugacy by K-theoretical invariant or Heliot invariant. And I only consider the automorphism of AF algebra, and for automorphism or action by integral group Z, the two notions of outer conjugacy and cocycle conjugacy coincide. And for automorphism of AF algebra, the first step little is known. Kishimoto proved the Laffer-type theorem for approximately inner automorphism on simple AF algebra with unique trace using the result of Alan Cohn on two factors, but we don't know in the other case. However, this second step was already completed by Evans and Kishimoto, which I will talk about. Let A be an AF algebra, then this is classified by dimension group J0A by George. And each automorphism alpha induces an automorphism of K0A as a scaled order group, which I denote alpha star. Then Evans and Kishimoto proved in 97 that if alpha and beta are two automorphisms satisfying the Laffer property, and if this induces the same automorphism on K0 group, then these are outer conjugates. Namely, there is a unitary in the unitization of A, and there exists an automorphism gamma such that alpha can be written as the inner perturbation of the conjugate action of beta. I can talk about this theorem more precisely later. And yes, this is a great theorem, and this is a uniqueness theorem of the automorphism, but one can ask the existence a problem of the theorem, namely, which automorphism of K0 can be obtained from the automorphism of A with a Laffer property. And since Evans and Kishimoto's work, no one considered such problem until Chris and I solved it in the last month in his institute, and that is the main theorem of this talk.
Then automorphism makes sense. And then you might as well talk about automorphism for that.
Okay. Maybe. Okay, before going to state the main theorem, I defined the Zahori property and show some properties of that. First, that's the unitary case. Let A be a unitary fixed algebra. Then the automorphism alpha on A is said to have the Lorentz property, which I abbreviate RP sometimes. If for any positive integer n, any finite set f, and any positive number epsilon, one can find a mutually orthogonal projection Ek, where K goes 0 to the n minus 1, and FL, L goes 0 to the n, which are mutually orthogonal projections in A, which is a partition of unity, commute with finite element f up to epsilon, and alpha sends E0 to E1, E1 to E2, up to epsilon, and same for f. The projection satisfied these three is sometimes called Zahori power. So the Zahori power looks like that. These 2n plus 1 projections keep a partition of unity, and alpha sends E0 to E1, E1 to E2, up to E2 in n minus 1, and same for f. And we do not assume anything on where the top goes. But because this is a partition of unity, the sum of the top goes to the sum of the bottom. But we do not assume anything other than that. And one may ask why two towers, why the height is n and n plus 1. And I have some comment on the definition. First of all, you can assume that the top going to the bottom of the same tower up to epsilon, and this is sometimes called a cyclic Lorentz property. And in general, it is strictly stronger than the Lorentz property which I defined. And one can also define the Lorentz property by just one tower. Then, because this is a partition of unity, if there's one tower, then the top should go to the bottom. So actually, single tower version is stronger than the cyclic version of the Lorentz property. And again, it's strictly stronger than the Lorentz property. And finally, you can define a Lorentz property using the several towers of several heights. Namely, for any n, one can find the k tower whose height is greater than or equal to n, such that for any f, any epsilon, there is a projection, ... Then you can easily see that the Lorentz property implies this, because just taking n and n plus 1 over here. But conversely, you can show that this property implies the Lorentz property, because if you have n, apply this version for n times n minus 1, and observe that any integer greater than or equal to the n times n minus 1 can be written as a positive combination of n and n plus 1 to show the Lorentz property. And the number n times n minus 1 is what appeared in the Michael's talk on the work on Kunsthenius with Pereira, and I think it's basically the same reason. Okay, that is a Lorentz property. And examples. Let X be a Cantor space, or more generally compact, second Cantor totally disconnected space. Then the automorphism of C of X corresponds bijectively to a homeomorphism sigma on X. In this setting, alpha has the Lorentz property if and only if sigma is free. There's no periodic point. The implication of this is easy, because if sigma is not free, there's a periodic point, say period of P, then you cannot construct the Lorentz tower greater than P. And to print the canvas, you only need to construct a cropping set, find a cropping set U, which is small enough that it doesn't intersect the image of under sigma up to N, but it's big enough that you can cover the whole X by iterating in some point. Then you can divide this cropping set by first return time, and you get the several car version of Rohori property, which is suffice. Okay, that is an example. And the next example is product type automorphism on UHF algebra. So let A be a UHF algebra, and alpha be the tensor product of the inner automorphism given by the fifth unitary. So it shifts the matrix in one by one. Then it's very easy to see that this alpha has the Rohori property if and only if this number nk is not bounded. Again, this implication is easy because otherwise alpha is periodic. And the inverse implication is also easy because you can see the Rohori power inside the matrix algebra. Another example is A is an infinite tensor product of the same matrix, say MN of C, and let alpha be the tensor shift. Then this automorphism satisfies the Rohori property. This was proved by Blatteri, Kishimoto, Rosen, and Stammer for the case N is even, and after that Kishimoto proved the general case, and he actually shows the more general setting. And it's very non-trivial fact, and it's very hard to show. But using Evans and Kishimoto's results, you can see that this tensor shift automorphism is alpha conjugate to the sum or all product type of automorphism satisfying the Rohori property. By the way, I'm happy to mention the name of Ura Blatteri and Ashitaka Kishimoto. For another example, if A has a unique character, then A cannot have an automorphism with Rohori property in trivial reason. So for example, if you start with a unitization of non-unital simple shift algebra, then this shift algebra has no automorphism with Rohori property. Okay? So what is the Rohori property for general shift algebra, not necessarily unital? And as far as I know, the definition for general Rohori property, not necessarily unitary, can be found in the paper of Evans and Kishimoto, but that involves the two unitaries, E and small e and big E, and unitary and blah blah, and it doesn't look like the straightforward generalization of unitary case. And Chris and I introduce the following definition, which is turned out to be equivalent in the case that the algebra is AF. So let A be any shift algebra, and let MA be the multiplier algebra of A, which is same as A when A has a unit. Then the automorphism alpha is said to have the Rohori property if for any positive number N, finite set S, positive number epsilon, one can find the Rohori power inside the multiplier algebra, which is a partition of unity commuting with finite set up to epsilon, and it an alpha tends E0 to E1, E1 to E2 almost in the strict proportion. So the difference between unitary case and this general case is, first of all, the Rohori power is in the multiplier algebra, and secondly, this third property, we need alpha of x. And when A has a unit, then multiplier algebra coincides with A, and by adding the 1 to the final step, you get the ability to get the same definition. And because alpha is automorphism, you can delete alpha the same x, but I also want to treat the endomorphism case, especially corner endomorphism case. In that case, we need this alpha, and the Lorentz property for unital corner endomorphism is defined by Michael. I may talk about later.
This is equivalent to the
Lorentz property you introduced before. It's equivalent to the Lorentz property introduced by Michael Rodan for unital corner endomorphism in the. It looks the same. Yes? In automorphism case, you can easily by just taking alpha inverse. It's good enough for automorphism, but for endomorphism, we need alpha.
Oh, okay. I don't understand alpha.
For alpha, yeah. We put x instead of alpha, that definition is the same. Yes, but endomorphism, it's not the same in general.
Thank you.
You want an alpha then? Yes, thank you. But I only treat the automorphism in my talk, so you can ignore alpha. Okay. Now the permanent property of the Lorentz property of automorphism. Lorentz property is preserved under the conjugation, it's trivial. Inner perturbation, it's easy to see. non-zero power, it's also easy. Tensor product for any automorphism of any phi size of the B, it's also easy. And restriction of alpha to an alpha invariant ideal I for the induced automorphism on the quotient of alpha invariant ideal I is also easy. And finally, the restriction of alpha to the three-type subalgebra B when B has an approximate unit of projection. And I don't know what happens in general because I cannot control the multiplier algebra of B and inside the multiplier algebra of A. because it's closed under the tensor product, you can find automorphism of Lorentz property in the fifth algebra with no projection, no trivial projection, by just taking B to be, say, P0 of R. Okay, and the reason why we get this result in the case that B has an approximate unit of projection is in that case, we can reformulate the Lorentz property without using multiplier algebra. So let A be a fifth algebra with approximate unit of projection. Then the automorphism has a Lorentz property if and only if for any n, f, epsilon, as above, one can find the projection inside A, not in multiplier algebra, such that the sum is not 1, we cannot it in general, but this is close to the 1 in the strict topology, and the second and third conditions are same. So, same comment can be applied. So the difference is one can find projection inside A, but you assume that the sum is close to the 1 in the strict topology. And this is the version I use. Note that the AF algebra satisfies the assumption. Okay, so let's define the set R of N, F, epsilon, where N, F, epsilon is same as above. And we define the R of N, F, epsilon to be the set of automorphisms such that there is a Lorentz tower satisfying three conditions in lemma. Then lemma just says that alpha satisfies the Lorentz property if and only if alpha is in D this set for any n, f, and epsilon.
Okay, what is good for this set? Let's assume A is an shift algebra with an approximate unit of projection. And if A is separable, then choose an increasing sequence of finite sets whose union is 10. Then the set of the automorphism with Laconic property can be written as a counter intersection of such. It's very easy. And it's also easy to see that this set is open in the automorphism group where we use the topology of pointwise norm convergence topology. It's also easy. So in separable case, the set of automorphism with Laconic property is the intersection of countable open set, and we can use the Bell category theorem, and I will use. To use it, I want to note that if A is separable, then the automorphism has a complete metric defined in this form for some dense sequence in the unit ball of A. Okay, let's go back to the AF algebra. Let A be an AF algebra, and K0 of A is a scaled order group where I denote K0 of A sub plus positive form of K0 of A, and I denote alpha star the induced automorphism on K0 of A by the automorphism alpha of A. It's easy to see that for each automorphism sigma on K0 of A, the set of automorphism of A induces sigma is non-empty and closed in automorphism. So it's non-empty because it's projection shown by George, and it is closed because it's continuous if you define a topology on automorphism of K0 of A appropriately. As a consequence, we can show that this set is has a complete metric so that I can use the Bell category theorem.
Okay.
Now, Evans and Kimmel's theorem. I state it again in a more precise way. So alpha and beta are automorphism of F algebra with a Laconic property and supports alpha and beta in just the same automorphism on K0. Then for any epsilon, one can find the unitary which is close to the 1 up to epsilon, and one can find an automorphism gamma which is approximately inner such that alpha can be written as this form. Now the question I want to solve is the existing theorem of compared with this theorem. And to state the main theorem, I need one more notation. Let's say automorphism sigma on K0 satisfies the property R if for any positive number n, and for any finite set I and j, and for any collection of positive elements xi, and any two map m and m prime from I times j into the positive or non-negative integers, such that there is some positive combination or relation between the image of xi and xi itself for each j. And the sigma satisfies property R if for this set one can find the yk from 0 to the n satisfying first of all this divides xi into n plus 1 pieces, and secondly the first n wise has the same its same with respect to this relation, and the last one is smaller than the y n minus 1 with respect to the this relation. Okay, this is property R. And the main theorem of Chris and I says for an AF algebra, the automorphism sigma on K0 is induced by the automorphism with Laconic property if and only if sigma satisfies that complicated condition. And moreover, for such sigma,
satisfying property of the set of automorphism with a local property inducing sigma is a dense G zeta set inside that set. Okay, that is the main theorem, and I will talk about the proof later. One may ask that, well, it's okay, but it may be difficult to show the given sigma satisfied property R. But yeah, I say yes in general, but in some cases one can show that sigma satisfied property R. That is the main corollary. For an F algebra A, the following conditions are equivalent. Every automorphism on K0 is induced by some automorphism with local property. The second condition is every sigma satisfied property of. Third. The third is answered approximately now. there is an approximate in automorphism with local property, and fourth, the identity satisfied property R is equivalent, and there is a K-theory condition. So any positive element X and any positive integer N, one can divide X into N. So the more precisely, there is Y with this form. And by the string theorem, 1, 2 are equivalent, and 3 and 4 are equivalent. And it's easy to see 2 implies 4. And it's also easy to see that 4 implies 5 by just looking at the diffusion property R. So the discovery implication is 5 implies 2. And this is just the problem of dimension group, and one can solve it. Okay. So, without this corollary, but this final condition K0 is turned out to be equivalent to many known notions. This five condition is equivalent to have this, so just taking n equal 2, so it's easy to see 5 implies 6, and it's also easy to see that 6 implies 8 approximately divisible. And it was Andrew Thomas and Graham Winter showed that approximate divisibility implies chance to absorbing, and it's also easy to see that if A absorbs the chance, no corner has a non-zero finite dimensional quotient, and finally you can go back from this condition to the K-theory condition using the theory of Goodyear and Handelman. So these nine conditions are equivalent for AF algebra. As a corollary, we can show that any approximate divisible or equivalent is absorbing AF algebra. Every automorphism on K0 is induced by automorphism of the Lorentz property. And I like to mention that a simple non-type 1 AF algebra is approximately divisible, so you can apply this corollary. And now I'd like to ask to extend this result to more general approximate divisible or the absorbing algebra other than AF algebra. And it's easy to construct a Lorentz property approximately inner Lorentz property for any approximately divisible Swiss algebra, but we don't know how to construct any other automorphism on K0 or on A of the invariant. But let me mention that for this, the absorbing AF algebra, there's an open problem. So let A be this absorbing AF algebra and alpha be an automorphism. And let gamma be an automorphism on V, which is a tensor shift of the infinite tensor product of chance algebra, which is isomorphic to V. Then does the tensor product alpha tensor gamma, which is an automorphism of A, have Lorentz property? It's open. And if yes, this gives another proof of the corollary I stated. And Chris recently showed that this actually satisfies a special version of the Hoyle property which Hwasun defined, and it's weaker than the Hoyle property. But it is open that these two notions are equivalent or not. So if the answer is yes for this problem, then answer is yes for that problem. Okay, let's talk about the proof of the main theorem. So this is the main theorem. So to prove it, I should do two things. First, take an automorphism alpha with Broccoli property and show that the induced automorphism satisfies the complicated property. And secondly, you should show this equals that, but actually we showed this. So if sigma satisfies the property R, we show that the set of the automorphism with the Broccoli property is density data set. And because this set has a complete metric, this means there is some automorphism which induces sigma and satisfying Broccoli property. Because that the automorphism sigma satisfies property R, if for any n and for any collection and any finite collection of relations between the image of sigma and fx, one can divide xi into n plus 1 pieces in the positive column of k0a such that the first n has the same size with respect to the relations and the last one is the small size with respect to the same the relation. So that is the property R. And also recall that the automorphism alpha has a Lorentz property if and only if alpha is in this set where n are positive integer, f is finite set, it is some positive number, and this RnF epsilon is a set of automorphism with the Lorentz power which satisfies three relations. Okay, the only part of the main theorem is following. So let's take an automorphism alpha with the Lorentz property, and then the induced automorphism sigma satisfies property R. The proof. First of all, we may assume A is stable by just stencilling the identity automorphism on compact operators, which is also satisfies the Lorentz property and induces the same automorphism. And okay, so let's take an n and collection xi and finite relations. Then first, choose the mutually orthogonal projection pi, which represents xi. We can do it in the stable AF algebra, and also choose the partial isometries representing the relation between sigma xi and xi, which involves pi, of course, and apply the Lorentz property of alpha for this n and the finite set consisting of projections and partial isometry and some small epsilon, which is determined by the number of projections and partial isometry, to get the Lorentz power. And just define yk of I be the element defined by this, which is close to the projection, and yn of I is just defined by fn times pi, which is also close to the projection. And because these powers commute with partial isometry, you can check that these y's satisfy the desired properties, and it's the end. So this part is very easy. And next, I want to prove the following. So let sigma be an automorphism of K0 satisfying the property R, and let n f epsilon is as before. Then R of n f epsilon is dense in the set of automorphism which induces sigma. And from this proposition and Bell's category theory, you can get the
if part of the main theorem and also the latter statement of the main theorem. So I only need to show this proposition to complete the proof of the main theorem. And this proposition falls from the following lemma. Let sigma be an automorphism with property R, and take an alpha, which induces a sigma, there's such an automorphism. And let's take NF epsilon and also a finite dimensional subalgebra B in A. Then one can find the unitary, which is commute with B, such that the inner perturbation of alpha is in this set. And note that this induces the same automorphism as alpha, so this induces sigma, and so this implies the proportion, and hence the proof of the main theorem complete. Okay, let's prove that this lemma. So first, choose a finite dimensional algebra D, which almost contains A, and which contains alpha to the k of B up to from 0 to the n, and also find a finite dimensional algebra B, which contains D and alpha D. And in general, you cannot do this for general alpha, but perturbing alpha a little bit by small unitary, you can find such D and E. And this small perturbation depends on epsilon. So let's assume we can do D and E. And let Xi be the generator of K of E. So this is the element defined by minimal projections of E. And because E has D and alpha D as a subalgebra, this true inclusion induces gives a multiplicity map M and M prime, and this gives a several relation between sigma of Xi and Xi. So we have N and collection of positive elements and the sum relation. So we can use the property R to get a YK which divides Xi and satisfying the relation which comes from these relations. Okay? Now let's take projection PK of I, which represents the element YK of I in K0. And from these projections, construct a projection PK, which commutes with the biggest finite dimensional algebra E, and the sum is the identity of the E. You can do this. And use the relation of YK of I to show that the projection PK1D and the projection DS, which is both of them are in the relative commutant of D, this gives the same element in K0 of the relative commutant. That is the most technical part. And then, because this relative commutant is AF, this means that there is a partial isometry between this and that. And collecting this partial isometry, you can find a unitary which commutes with D and satisfying this condition. And finally, construct a Loughlin power from these projections. And for this automorphism, then this automorphism in this set. And that is the end of the proof of the lemma. The most and only technical point of the proof is to show that these two projections give the same element inside the K0 of the relative commutant. And we note that in general, the inclusion map from here into A induces a K0 of a group homomorphism between K0 groups, but it's not injective in general. So it's not suffice to show that this and that are same element in K0 of A. We need to show these are in K0 of the relative commutant, and this can be done because this finite dimensional algebra, we know what is this in detail. Okay, so I talk about some problems. So generalize this result to AP algebra or ASH or especially AF, but I don't know how to do that. As I said, I use the finite dimensional subalgebra in an essential way, and so I don't know how to get rid of it. Another problem is, yes, we know there are a lot of automorphisms with a Lorentz property, but it doesn't, well, but it's still difficult to show that a given automorphism satisfies Lorentz property or not, so we need some criteria for automorphism to have Lorentz property, which seems to be difficult. And another problem is, so let sigma be the automorphism of K0, which satisfies the property R, then there are a lot of automorphisms with Lorentz property inducing the sigma, but the cross product is isomorphic to each other, so the problem is this. In several cases, we can show that these are, say, simple AP realized zero, or in the case that A is non-unital and the sigma scales the unique trace, then this becomes a simple, pure infinite, namely Kirchhoff algebra. But in general, I don't know the answer. And it may be related to the work by Nate. Nate proved that when the cross product of AF algebra by one automorphism is AF embedded or not, but he used the Lorentz action, Lorentz automorphism of universal UHF algebra. So the embedding AF algebra is very big. But using this criteria, one can control the K0 of the image. So that this induces maybe isomorphism between K0 of cross product and K0 of AF. And maybe another problem is, which may or may not relate to our work, is gift the automorphism of sigma of K0A to the automorphism of A with the same order, which is still open. And finally, generalize the main result to corner endomorphism, which generalizes the one theorem of Mikhail Loda. Work in progress, so I don't know how to do it. And I don't know if it's important or not. Okay, I stop here. Thank you.
I know that V obviously doesn't have enough direction, but or said, is there a way to talk to the way you see that? Is there a conceit that have you thought about an analog of the Watson property for automorphisms or algorithms like that?
Many people are interested in such problem, but I don't know how to do it. Chris has some property.
We have an analog of the tracial Ruffin property. And that's what was used in the thing with the site. So the infinite tensor shifts as a directionless analog of the tracial Ruffin property. If the algebra is simple and has tracial rank zero, then this projectionless analog implies the tracial Ruffin property, say, with projections. We have no examples to show that either for the integers, the tracial Ruffin property either does or does not imply the Ruffin property.
Would you be willing to speculate on what property R would look like for A E algebra, so you involve A1 or
this? I have no idea.
It shouldn't have anything to do with K1.
If A is simple and unital, then this is. Locally property implies tracer locally property, and so we can use the theorem of
Osaka. Yeah, but it still needs periodic points in K0. And the example we just described, there are no periodic points in K0. So that's the thing which is missing. We don't have a completely general, don't have a sufficiently general statement which says that cross product. With any algebra less happening, even with the Rothman property, has special answer. But that's sort of the one thing that's missing here now. I'm sorry.
I'd
like to suggest a better name for property R.
Yes.
To call it the Ruffin property or automorphisms of ordered groups. That's, I don't know if that's good or not. But that comments on that or any other suggestions would be welcome.
That really is the last comment.